Hey, how you doing? It's Pastor Jay. Welcome to our podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for listening. I pray that this word blesses your spirit, empowers you wherever you are, whether it be your home, your workplace, the gym, or even if you're riding in the car. Look, let's advance the kingdom by spreading this word with whoever you come in contact with. That is my ultimate goal, is to spread the kingdom and the message of Jesus Christ. I love you, and once again, here's today's message. Be blessed.
We honor you. God, we thank you that we are living a holy life before you. We thank you, Lord God, that we are living a life of righteousness, Lord God. It's because that is what we need, Lord God. So we ask, Lord God, that you allow this message to go forth with boldness and clarity, Lord God, that it will fall on good ground, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that it will fall on the soil of your people's heart, Lord God, and prick their heart, Lord God. So we thank you for who you are. We thank you for being in this place with us today. And we pray, Lord God, that as we continue along in the service, that you will allow our minds to be illuminated by the revelatory word, Lord God, that will be spoken today. So we love you. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise all over this place this morning. Come on, you guys. We can do better than that, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Didn't our unplugged praise team do an amazing job this morning? Amen. Let's give God some praise for our praise team, our unplugged praise team. Amen. 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 And good morning, everybody. You may be seated. Good morning. How is everybody this morning? Hopefully you're doing amazing. Hopefully you're doing great. And as you all know, we are in our series entitled Advance. We are in our series entitled Advance. And how many of you all enjoyed the word last week? I had to go back and watch it myself. I had to go back and listen to it myself because there were some things that Holy Spirit spoke that I had to connect with. So this week we're going to talk about something that I think is really important, and I think is really important for the body of Christ to really understand this concept and understand that we need to be intentional in life. Everybody say, be intentional in life. So as you all know, our base scriptures are Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And it's already on the screen. Look at them moving real fast. Wow. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. We're going to read that. And we're going to read Mark chapter 16, verse 15. I'm going to read that this morning. I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture this morning. That's what Sundays are for. Well, every day we need to be reading scripture, not just Sundays, right? Sundays. Let me ask you all this. How many of you all would like to read the Bible more? Like, is that something that you would like to learn to read the Bible more? Okay. All right. We're going to do a series on that. We're going to do some little practical steps on how you can do that. Because I think we need to read more so we can understand our nature. Because when we understand our nature, we understand who God created us to be. And when we understand who God created us to be, we have power over anxiety. We have power over what's going on in the world. We have power over what the news is saying. We have power over what people are saying. And so it's important for us to understand our nature, because when we understand our nature, then we understand who we are. And the scripture says our life is hidden in with Christ who sits at the right hand. So our life is hidden in Christ who sits at the right hand of God, right? And so since our life is hidden in Christ, then that means that we need to get into the scripture to understand who Christ was. See, a lot of people have information about who Christ was, but they don't have a revelation of who Christ was. They have information about Christ, but they don't have the revelation about Christ that they need. So everybody at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And this is what it says. It says, now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are focusing on that word, go. Now go. Now wherever you go, now go. Let's go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, because Jesus gives this same, he gives this same commandment again. So Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And you can follow along on the screen. And it says this, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's the New King James Version. Let's read from the Amplified Classic Version. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. I know I had a brain freeze right there. So the word go here speaks of what? It speaks of intentions. It speaks of intentions. And so this leads me to my first key point, which is this. Your intentions are determined by which will you choose, by God's will or your will. So your intentions are determined by, am I going to choose God's will for my life or am I going to choose my will for my life? And what's the difference between the two? The difference between the two is God's will is perfect for you, and you think that your will is perfect for you, but it is not, according to the scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says this. It says, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So God's will is perfect for you. Say this with me. God's will is perfect for me. See, a lot of times we cannot be intentional because we have the wrong heart posture. We have the wrong heart posture. What is posture? Posture is how you're sitting in that chair right now. But heart posture is your heart turned to God or is your heart turned to yourself? See, how you treat yourself is a picture of how you treat others. How you treat yourself is a picture of how you treat others. So when your heart posture is wrong, it not only affects you, but it affects others. It affects other people. Because when my heart posture is not turned to God and my heart posture is turned to myself, then that makes me a selfish being. I start to focus on what about me, and it's all about me, and if you don't focus on me, then you're wrong. And it's a lot of people like that in church today. Well, I'm the focus. I'm the main one. You got to focus on me. You got to focus on what I want. You got to focus on what I need. What have you done for me lately? See, we have that type of mindset in the church. But God, I believe, is calling for us in this season to turn our heart posture back to him. Because when we turn our heart posture back to him, then we will be able to prove that his will is perfect for our life. So your intentions are determined by God's will or your will. Because you can tell if someone is following God's will or following their will. Because if they're following God's will, then they are selfless. But if you are following your will, then you are selfish. So let's go to Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. That was my introduction. So I got about another 40 minutes, right? Right, media team? No? They said no? Okay. So Luke chapter, that was my intro right there. That was just a little tease of what we're going to really talk about today. So Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45. And when I was constructing this, and Holy Spirit was leading me down this path of heart posture, I was like, really, that's the way you want us to go? He was like, yep, that's the way I want you all to go. Because there's some heart postures that need to change. There's some heart postures that need to change. So Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45, it says this. It says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. So have you ever noticed that Jesus frequently compares people to trees? Have you ever noticed that even David, you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water? Have you noticed that those who are planted in the house of God will flourish? Jesus is comparing us to trees. And so Jesus compares a person to a tree, the heart of man as the root, and the actions as the fruit. I'm going to say that again. Jesus compares a person to a tree, the heart of man as the root, and the actions as the fruit. And so you're looking at a tree. You're looking at a tree. When you look at yourself, you're looking at a tree. And your heart is the root. But the actions of your heart is the fruit. And so the question is, are people able to pull from your tree fruit that will nourish them, or fruit that will malnourish them, or fruit that will poison them? Because a lot of times when we have the wrong heart posture, people, when they pull from our tree, we're poisoning them. We're poisoning them with our words. We're poisoning them with our thoughts. We're poisoning them with our selfishness. See, the root is the principle from which the fruit springs. So the heart of man is a principle from which all human actions flow. So a holy heart will be accompanied by a holy life. So when your heart is holy, then you will have a holy life. See, where there is a vital principle of grace within, there will be the acting of grace without. So when you experience grace within, then you will allow people to experience grace without. Have you ever noticed how people are only patient with their progress and not with the progress of others? Have you ever noticed that? Did you hear me? People are only patient with their progress. They always say, well, God is working on me, but when God is working on somebody else, they want them to be a little bit faster. See, that is a bias that we have in the church. See, we want people to grow faster than they actually should. But everybody's journey is everybody's journey, and we have to allow them to have their journey, because when we allow them to have their journey, because see, look, God did not. Now, we may experience some things that may be the same, but how we interpret that experience may be different. And so it's all about your heart posture. See, a good conscience will be accompanied with good conversation. So when you have a good conscience of mind, you will have good conversation. But when you have an evil conscience, you will have evil conversation. You will talk about people. You will condemn people. You will make people feel bad. You will try to shame people. You try to guilt people. But look, God did not call us to shame or guilt anybody. Because the scripture says, therefore, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So God did not call us to do that. So if our words reveal our heart, we need to be intentional about our heart. If our words reveal our heart, we need to be intentional about our heart. Because the scripture says in Proverbs, out of the heart flows rivers of life. Out of the heart flows springs, right? And so this leads me to my next key point, which is this. Your heart determines your character. Your heart determines your character. See, the heart provides the motivation of life, and what is in it will invariably manifest itself. So I can always tell what is in a person's heart by how they treat me. I can tell if a person necessarily likes me. I can tell if a person necessarily loves me. I can tell if a person thinks negatively about me or thinks good about me based on what is in their heart. Because whatever is in your heart has got to come out into the forefront. Because I think what we've learned in church and what we've learned in religion is how to mask what's in our heart with churchy colloquialisms or churchy sayings. We've learned how to mask this in our heart. We learn how to mask what's really in our heart, because look, I can dress this up, I can look good on the outside, but on the inside, my heart is not right. And so the good treasure of your heart produces kindness, gentleness, and compassion. So I'm going to say it again. The good treasure of your heart produces kindness, gentleness, and compassion. So when my treasure in my heart is good, you will see the fruit of it invariably on the outside. See, when you have an excellent spirit, then you will see that excellent spirit on the outside. You just won't try to perform for people. It will become your authentic nature. See, a lot of us, we're operating out of our authentic nature because of what's in our heart. So you have to ask God, what is in my heart that is not like you? Because a lot of us have things in our heart that are not like God, and we're wondering, well, why am I receiving this, or why am I doing this, or why am I? Because you have not allowed God your full heart. See, God just doesn't want the bottom of your heart. God wants your full heart. And when he gets your full heart, he can go in and say, okay, well, this is not like me. Let me take this out. This nature is not my nature. Let me rearrange that. And so that's why we read, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so if the good treasure of your heart produces kindness, gentleness, and compassion, the question is, what does the evil treasure of your heart produce? It produces this. It produces judgment of others. It produces bitterness. It produces cynicism. It produces meanness. It produces harsh surmises and uncharitable condemnation. So God doesn't want us to condemn one another. God calls us to love one another. And when you truly love God, then you can truly love yourself. And when you truly love yourself, you can truly love others. Because the scripture says what? It says, love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? But if you don't love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? If you don't treat yourself well, how can you treat your neighbor well? And who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is everyone that you see. So let's go to Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37, and we're going to see this tree principle again. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Man, y'all moving fast with these scriptures, huh? I'm going to have to throw some random scriptures out there one day. Revelation chapter 15, verse 13. Turn that. No, I'm just joking. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37 says this. It says, either make the tree sound, healthy and good, and its fruit sound, healthy and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased and bad. For the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit. Verse 34, you offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil, wicked? For out of the fullness, the overflow, the superabundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man from his inner good treasure flings forth good things, and the evil man out of his inner evil storehouse flings forth evil things. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle, inoperative, non-working word they speak. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned and sentenced. And see, a lot of times we are speaking things about others that are idle words. See, your words can either justify you and acquit you, or they can condemn and sentence you. See, a lot of times we say things about people that we shouldn't be saying. Because why are we saying those things? Because we're thinking those things in our heart. See, your mind is your spiritual heart. Because here it is. Let me break it down for you. So are you telling your heart to beat right now? Anybody telling yourself heart beat, 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 beat? Are we doing that? No, our subconscious mind is doing that, all right? So the mind is the spiritual heart. And so the words that you speak come from your mind. They are stored in your heart. They come from your mind. You have a language center in your mind. And so if you're thinking negative thoughts constantly about other people, guess what's going to happen? Those negative thoughts, got it. They have to come out through your mouth. They have to come out through the words that you speak. And so have you ever noticed a mean Christian? It sounds like an oxymoron, right? It is, because there's no such thing as a mean Christian. There's no such thing as a negative Christian. See, I think what has happened is we have created in America this version of Christianity that we think is right. And so we have Americanized it. We have made it, we have basically created our own religion. And so that religion has made us to say negative things about people and then give a little disclaimer. I love you, though. Do you really love me, though, if you just said that about me? So we have to make sure that whatever's in our heart, it has to be pure. It has to be clean. So here's this. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And this 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 connects with Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. So it says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so this leads me to my next key point, which is this. A sound mind thinks healthy and good thoughts. Say that again. A sound mind thinks healthy and good thoughts. And so the scripture says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, either make the tree sound, healthy and good, and its fruit sound, healthy and good, or make the tree rotten, diseased and bad, and its fruit rotten, diseased and bad. For the tree is known and recognized and judged by its fruit. So I want us to break this way, and we've done this before. I want us to break this word disease down. So disease is this, just disease. Your mind is not at ease. And so when your mind is not at ease, then you have the tendency to say the wrong things about people. You have the tendency to think the wrong things about people. You have the tendency to feel the wrong things about people because your mind is dis-ease. Your mind is at dis-ease. Your mind isn't at ease. So you are dissing the ease that your mind should be at. See, the scripture says, he who keeps his mind stayed on thee, he will keep thee in perfect peace. So when you are in perfect peace, you don't think negative thoughts about your neighbor. You don't say negative things about your neighbor. You don't feel negative ways about your neighbor based on what you heard somebody else say. See, we have to, as Christ followers, as Christ representatives, if we're going to advance the kingdom of God, we have to let go of our biases. And that means that we have to let go of what we think somebody is based on somebody else's perception. So if somebody else's perception is negative and then they say that this person is negative, and then we take that perception and we live by that perception instead of giving that person a chance, then we have just created a bias and we have just created a diseased mindset. See, small people talk about each other. Small people talk about other people. Big people talk about the things of God. I want you to always remember that our minds should be focused on God because God made everybody, right? Did God make two sets of people? Well, I'm just going to make this set of people, and then this set of people I didn't make. No, we are made in the image and likeness of God. And so that means that we have to draw people with love and kindness the same way Christ has drawn us with love and kindness. And so let's go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. See, we have to really ask God to change our heart. Because there's some things that are said, there's some things that are thought, there's some things that we've created this kind of Americanized Christianity that really doesn't line up with the word of God. And we're going to do a series on really interpreting the word of God, because you can either exegete the word or you can either eisegete the word, right? What does that mean, Pastor Jay? It means this. When you exegete the word, you pull the meaning out of it. When you eisegete the word, you read the meaning into the word. So if you find a scripture, see, a lot of times we find scriptures, and I've had it happen to me. A lot of times we find scriptures that we read meaning into, and then we read the meaning into, and then we try to apply that to somebody else's life. And guess what? We are in error because that's not what the word of God says. And so we have to make sure that we are truly pulling the meaning out of the scripture instead of reading meaning into the scripture, because it's easy to read meaning into the scripture in order to fit your lifestyle. But the question is, will you allow Holy Spirit to allow you to extract the meaning, to give you the meaning of that scripture so you can truly apply it to your life? See, a lot of times we think we understand the word, but we don't understand the word because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to really illuminate our minds and illuminate our hearts so that we can truly understand the word. And so God did not call us to beat people over the head with the word because we've eisegeted the word. That's what the Pharisees did. Y'all remember? Do y'all remember when the lady came and they caught her in adultery, right? So there were two type of people there. There was Jesus there, but then there were like the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and people. And so they were trying to read meaning into the word. They were trying to eisegete the word. We caught this woman in adultery. Let's stone her. But the scripture says in Deuteronomy, I have to find the exact scripture, which you go search it. But it says that if someone is caught in adultery, you have to do the adulteress and the adulterer as well. And so Jesus exegeted the scripture. He didn't read meaning into the scripture. And since he didn't read meaning into the scripture, the lady was able to be set free, because back then, if you only had one accuser, you had to have multiple accusers to stone somebody. And so after Jesus kneeled down and was writing in the sand, some people say he was writing the sins of the people who had accused her in the sand. And then when he got up, he said, well, where are your accusers? And the lady said, they're gone. And so he said, well, go and sin no more. So I'm not going to condemn you. So that same grace that Christ gave, we have to give that same grace today. We have to give that same love today. We cannot eisegete the scripture. We cannot read meaning into the scripture, because if we read meaning into the scripture, then we will always be in error. So there were people in that day when they brought the woman in to stone her, there were people reading meaning into the scripture, and there was Christ bringing meaning out of the scripture. And so that's what Christ wants us to do. He wants us to live like him. So we have to bring the meaning out of the scripture. So everybody at Luke chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. And this is what it says. It says, therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. So there's that trees again. Therefore, every tree which does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So if you're going to be intentional in life, you have to bear fruit. You have to bear fruit that's going to be a nourishment to the body of Christ. You cannot bear fruit that's going to poison the body of Christ. You have to bear fruit that's going to be a nourishment to the body of Christ. Let's read this from the Passion Translation. It says this. It says, then turn away from your sins, turn to God, and let your life change. Let your changed life be proof. Don't think for a moment that it's enough to simply be favored descendants of Abraham. That's not enough to save you. I'm telling you, God could make more sons of Abraham out of stones if he chose to. Verse 9, even now, God's axe of judgment is poised to chop down your barren tree right down to its roots. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be leveled and thrown into the fire. And so if you're going to be intentional in life, You have to produce good fruit. So the question is, how do we become intentional in life? How do we become intentional in life? Three things, almost done. I know everybody like, man, daylight savings time, right? So three things that will lead to living an intentional life. Number one is this. We have to resign to religion. We have to resign to religion. We have to resign to doing things the same old, just because it's the same old, same old. See, what will happen is, and what has happened in some churches is, they followed tradition for so long that they made the word of non-effect. And so God does not want us to make the word of non-effect. So if we're going to live an intentional life, we have to resign to the old way. We have to resign to religion. Number two is this. We'll have to renew our mind daily to the truth of God. We have to renew our mind daily to the truth of God. And so it's going to take you on a daily basis focusing on God, because when we renew our mind daily to the truth of God, we will be set free from our biases. We will be set free from what the world says. We will be set free from all of these things that are holding us back. So God wants us to be set free, because Scripture says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It shall make you free. And so number one, resign to religion. Number two is renewing our mind to the truth on a daily basis. And number three is this. If we're going to live an intentional life, we must review our words. Because every word that you speak that is idle, you're going to have to give an account for it. So if you say something negative about your brother or your sister, you're going to have to give an account for it, because your words will either justify you or your words will either condemn you. So which you make the choice. You make the choice. And how do you make the choice? You make the choice by giving God your full heart. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We thank you for the word that has just gone forth. We thank you, Lord God, that your people's heart posture is changing, Lord God, and that we are really living how you created us to live, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are resigning to the old way, that we are renewing our mind daily to the truth of God, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are reviewing our words. We thank you, Lord God, that people, Lord God, will be changed, Lord God, not from the glory of, not from our glory, but from your glory, because we've allowed our light to shine, Lord God, in dark places. So, God, we love you. We thank you. We honor you for this day as we continue along in this service. We pray, Lord God, that you will have your way. So we love you. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.